This is Vaughn Morton, Fresno, California. Brother Terry came into my life at a very crucial time. I really needed Brother Terry in my life. And I am ever grateful for what he did for me. Brother Frost asked me to put together some things concerning Brother Terry. So I just went and dug out some of my notes, and I'll just read them to you. I learned these from Brother Terry. First of all, Brother Terry taught me that every man ought to have a good bed, a good car, and a good pair of shoes. He said, if you're not in one, you're in the other. He also taught me when I called him one day and said, Brother Terry, give me a word from God. And like a bullet shot out of a gun, he fired right back. He didn't stutter around. He said, Brother Morton, the longer you live, the bigger mess you're going to make. And he also taught me, he looked at me one day and he said, Brother Morton, have you got a pocket knife? I said, no, I don't have a pocket knife. He looked at me. He said, every man ought to have a pocket knife. And he took me to an old store and bought me a pocket knife. And then he also taught me the lesson of it takes a long time to get a gate. We were out in his backyard. We went through the old gate. And he said, Brother Morton, do you see this gate? And I said, yes. He said, it takes a long time to get a gate. Then one day he said, you see this fence? It takes a long time to get a fence. And one day he said, you see this carpet on the floor? I said, yes. He said, it takes a long time to get a carpet on the floor. He said, you young men, you come along and you want it right now. He said, you got to learn. It takes a long time to get a gate. And he taught me, he said, if you want to lose all of your money, you better stay away from slow horses and fast women or you'll lose all of your money. And I asked him when he was 85 years old, Brother Terry, how did you learn to live so long? He said, I just be happy. And then one day on the telephone, he called me and he read me this. He said he drew a circle that shut me out. He called me a heretic, a rebel, a thing to flout. But Love and I had a wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. And this is the big lesson that he taught me. It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design. But I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. The flower God opened so sweetly would in my hands fade and die. If I cannot unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust in Him for His leading each moment of every day, and I'll look to Him for His guidance each step of the pilgrim way. For the pathway that lies before me, my Heavenly Father knows. I'll trust Him to unfold the moments just as He unfolds the rose. There's a lot to tell about Brother Terry, and you cannot do it in 2 minutes. And I'll close with this. I remember one of the last things he told me before he passed away. He talked about this truth, and he said, Brother Morton, everything that's not of this truth is cursed. It's got the curse of God up on it. Thank God for the doctrine that Brother Terry put in our hearts. God bless.
I'm going to preach a message. You've never heard me preach before. Yeah. And you grow in grace and knowledge, you know, you grow in things and helps you along the way. First place, I'm glad to be here and appreciate being asked to preach. I hope to say words of edification that everyone will understand and everybody will follow me. I don't know how you do your head yet. You talk to this group a while and then this group. I don't know if Brother Danby used to, he just tried to look up at the ceiling, let him get you if he could. Maybe that'd be the best way here than now. But glad to see Brother Ellen back there and his wife. And there was a young evangelist told me, I told him I was going to use him today, and he said, I heard he's doing some awful good preaching. In fact, I really liked him because he said he sort of reminded me, he reminded me of him. Him of me. So maybe his wife will whisper to him and say, I hope not. Lord, as we bow our heads this morning, we ask you to come as you come before into this place, Lord, and let me, O God, have the liberty of the Holy Ghost, the freedom of mind. Lord, and give me above all things a thankful heart and forgive us of our transgressions. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this off by this. I would hate to be a pastor of a church today. If this new century that is coming on, there are so many people believe that those Jesus' name people are thinking they're going out in the rapture. And the more think we're going to have shop as ever. And what is going to happen, the wicked, if God doesn't come soon, the wicked are going to become more wicked. And then if he doesn't come, when some of them are thinking we think he's going to come, he said, it's the same old story since our fathers fell asleep. But I want to explain to you one thing. Jesus is coming. The most glorious, you've never dreamed of the glory that's coming on this world. Not to the glory of this world, but the most glorious season and time that you'll ever see is when the saints go in. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. When all the people through faith, though some have died in it, some have lived for it, some have fought for it, some have cried for it. When that group of people by faith that have lived for God in the hours that we live in, in the ages that we've come through, there's never been a glorious, and angels are going to stand at attention when this church goes through. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Nothing in this world I have ever been like that. Like when this church goes in. When the bride, you talk about a bride. Somebody told me somebody had a bride the other day. It cost about $30,000 to have it. Well, I want to tell you what. This bride cost more than $30,000. This bride cost more than $30,000. Well, I'm going to start preaching. I do. You need to hold your pastor's hands up. Give me that last verse in Proverbs. Last 11th chapter, I believe it's Proverbs. Young man. What does it say? Next to last chapter of Proverbs, last verse.
Surely the church is built?
No, it's for a young man.
If thou hast done foolishly, lifting up thyself.
No, it's for a young man. The last two verses then.
That's the last two verses.
All right, read them.
If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth.
Read it. Okay. Next to the last chapter, Proverbs, where it says, young man, Enjoy your life. Have your fun. But remember, for all this, you're going into judgment. Everybody happy? I didn't know that you... been gone so long, they've lost me. I thought just before the 12th chapter, where it starts talking. What did I say? Well, excuse me. I'll forgive you. I forgive them. What did it say?
Rejoiceful young man in your youth.
Yeah, have your fun, young man, in your youth.
Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth.
Let your heart just do anything you want to do. Go wild or stay. Come to church or don't come to church. Play parties or don't play parties. Go ahead.
Walk in the ways of thine heart.
Read on.
In the sight of
your eyes. Read on.
Know thou that for
all these things,
God will bring thee into judgment.
You're going to be brought into judgment. In this hour that we have, Pentecost itself, our message is not shaking. What is shaking is the preachers that don't want to bark. They don't know how to bark. You can advance things into this church, not this one, but this United Pentecostal Church. We've got a bunch of preachers that won't bark. Don't you know what a barking dog is? Let me bark for you, will you? What are you barking like that for? I mean, you better clean out of here. I'm going to eat you up. That's what that dog is. All right, there's something coming on this world that you're going to have a barking dog. Your preacher is going to have to preach. Hear me? He can tell young men, we're making a great change, this world is. Hear me? A great change is coming in Pentecost. But it's going to be the same as it's ever been. But there's going to be a group. Remember, whatever you do, we have a lot on TV. I told you about a preacher that went to preach. He preached, they asked him, don't preach on two things. They ordered him to preach. Don't preach on TV and don't preach on homosexual. And that was in United Pentecostal Church. He was invited to. So if he's going to go, I tell you, he's going to have a muzzle on, or he better need to do some barking. Because of what's coming on this world, but don't get excited about that. You fear God, keep His commandments, this is the whole duty of man. You're really running this race for yourself. Every man has the same choice, to be what he wants to be. You have a choice to be, or you have a choice not to be. The closest thing that I can tell you is to stay with your pastor. There'll be a lot of people who will offer you things, and maybe in the UPC, and say, well, you call him brother, you greet him with a kiss and everything like that, and he says I can, and you say I can't. Well, you can do it you can do any of it. Hear me? But remember, you're going to be brought into judgment. Just do your thing. But keep thoroughly in mind, I'm going to be brought into judgment. So when you're brought into judgment, the secrets of the heart are going to be made known. Every living thing. But that's not my message today. I want to talk about God. God is a wonderful God. He don't want to be second on anything. At times, you know, He hadn't known it all, and at times He hadn't had it all together. But most of the time, and He had it all together in one little package, so to speak. But I want you to help me do something. I want to take God to school. Will you? Will you go with me? You said, maybe you said, well, I don't know about you taking God to school. No, He took Himself. In 1 Peter, I wish you'd read this for me. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 20. 19 and 20, I mean. 1 Peter 19 and 20.
But with the precious blood of Christ,
Go right ahead.
As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
I want to tell you something. There's some things in the Bible that says from the foundation of the earth. But what did this say? Before the foundation of the world. Before. What do you suppose went on over trillions and billions and billions of years? I wouldn't know. I try to imagine what went on a lot of times. And I don't know if you can receive it or not. But have you ever read about that city built four square? His bride going there. Now, you talk about some of you guys wanting to put on the dog. You know, I'm saying he might have took 1,000,000 years to lay that city out. You say, Brother Terry, the Bible said, speak the thing and become sound doctrine. Well, can't you have a little imagination about it? I know he's not sitting up there just doing nothing. I don't know if he even sit down. Why? Because he wasn't a man. And I want you to know that everything that Christ went through, He went through before the foundation of the world. I need a scripture. I need this scripture. It's in Romans. No. Let's see where I need this scripture. I'll have to find it here. All right. It's going to be in Romans. 4th chapter of Romans. 10th verse, I believe it is. Let me see.
How was it?
Where have I got you reading that from? Well, it's a little different than that. Anybody, I always tell everybody how old I am. So if I make a slippage, they'll say, we understand. This month, I'm going to be 87. And I'm a wonder to them all. Hear me? They wonder how in the world that old man stand up there and do this. Well, I'm just... Romans 4:17, the scripture. And the young man, I want you to get it. Let's read it. 4:17.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, if he believed, even God, quickens the dead, and calls those things be not as though they were.
Now, God spoke of things to be as though they were. Christ with God. And now I need a scripture that's in Acts 15 chapter and 18th verse. Now if you put these two together, and then I'll get started here. I hope.
Known unto God.
Are all his works.
From the beginning of the world.
From the beginning. Not before the foundation of the world. But the beginning of it. Time the beginning of the world, Christ was before it. But from the beginning, he settled down and he said, that's the blueprint right there. That's it. You going to add another room? Nope. Known unto God is all in work from the foundation of the world. And the scripture I had read before that, was, what did it say? Calleth those things as weren't as though they were. Now I'm going to give you the shock of your life. God made Adam. And I believe it's on the sixth day. You can figure it out for yourself and read it. But he said he made him in his image and his likeness, but he didn't do it. He did it in his mind. Hear me? For if he would have done it, come here, young man. I'm God and I'm going to make Adam. I'm going to make you like I am. Now I'm a spirit, so I'm going to make you a spirit. And Jesus said a spirit has not place in bones, you see me? So you're not going to be an Adam like you think you are. You're going to be an Adam like God, speaking as things were to be as though they were. You get the picture? If he'd have made Adam like he was, what would he have made? A spirit. But what did he make him? He made him a man. He made flesh. Thank you. Now, I want you to get the picture. If you don't, you'll say, Brother Frost, it'll take you 6 months to straighten that out. No. When God came into this world, He had it settled, and He knew from the beginning, before the world was, that there had to be some change in me. There had to be, He had to be. God had to be. And from the foundation of the world, He had it all set up. But He spoke of things to be as though they were. And He spoke of Adam and made Adam and made him a man and gave him a wife by the name of Eve. And all living come from Eve. All men, women. Eve, Adam called her name Eve because she was the mother of all living. If God walked in that door and said, I'm God, I'd say, who's your mammy? He said, I'm from heaven. I said, well, you're not a man. We're glad to have you with us. Probably an angel. He said, I'm a man. I said, who's your mother? If he said, I didn't come from Eve, he was not a man. Hear me? She is the mother of all living. Written. And so, we're moving into this. You said, Brother Terry, where did you get this? I got it while men slept. You say, well, you might have been asleep yourself. No. If you talk to my wife, you hear her say, I think if you're going to pray, you ought to get your closet. Well, I don't have one big enough. And then you have to do it when you God comes on you, and then you have to get up and study what God gives you. And He gave me this thoroughly. It was before the foundation of the world with Jesus Christ in the mind of God. He was coming, but then when the foundation of the world had come, God had, I give you that fifth of the scripture, said, known unto God are all His works in the foundation of the world. And when I first came into this church to see Brother Frost on it, he had a picture on the wall. They were working on it. But then became the finished work. Well, this Bible is finished from Genesis to Revelation. And it's laid out, and there won't be any changes. The bride is, you're still going to have to be holy. Hear me? And no preacher can add anything to it. No preacher can take anything away from it. Everything that He said must harmonize with it. And so it is. We're going to have to do a little job here, if you understand this. I don't know if you... I want you to get me Hebrews 2, 9, and 10. And we're about to get in this message. You'll say, well, I hope. Oh, no, it's a little too deep for you, maybe. What did it say?
So we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, and He, by the grace of God, faced death for every man. But became Him,
well, first place, we're going to talk about God wasn't perfect. We're going to send Him to school. Hear me? He's going to have to learn obedience with the things that He suffered. He's going to have to learn them through experience or reading about them. Taught them. So, what God do, we're going to take Him to school. And in going to school, He's going to become perfect. Now, remember, the first day, we'll just put it like this. I'll give you an example. Give me the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, the last two verses. 52nd chapter of Isaiah, the last two verses. This is talking about a punishment that Jesus Christ is going to take. He talks like here, it's happening now. But what did it say?
As many were astonished at His vision, so far more than any man,
it has never happened. Read on.
So shall He sprinkle many nations, kings shall set their mouths at Him, for that which has not told them shall they see, that which they have not heard.
All right, He is, it describes a beating that no man, hear me? No man has ever had one like that man got right there. No man has ever been beaten like that man was beaten. But he's speaking of things to be as though they were. He's prophesying something here. Hear me? Isn't this prophecy, Brother Frost? This is prophecy of what Jesus Christ is going to go through while we take him to school. Hear me? The captain of our salvation was made perfect by what? God wants to be the king of all of it. If your brains, he wants your brains. If he goes, he wants to have gone more places than you in righteousness. Everything that God done is perfect. But there's one thing that he wasn't perfect in. He wasn't perfect because he didn't know how to suffer. Nobody had ever slapped God. Nobody had ever said, get up and sit down. Get up. Get up, you. Sit down. Nobody ever told God that. God had just done what he wanted to do at his own time, in his own way. And everybody just took it, just that's the way God wanted, so that's the way it is. But he learned something. He learned obedience. And how did he learn obedience? By the thing that he suffered. He did two things in his suffering. One of them, he learned obedience. And another, he redeemed us. In the suffering that he's going through, he's redeeming us. Hear me? And then in doing that, besides that, he's learning obedience. Now, let's take him to school, will you? He comes to the world, and he gets here, and what do you know about it? The world didn't even know him. He was in the world, and the world didn't know him. Right or wrong? Somebody say amen to this. Right. World didn't even know him. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. They put him in a manger. What is happening to you, God? I'll tell you, son, if you'll excuse my temper, my ways. You're going to learn obedience. I said, you're going to school. You're going to learn. So, in just a few days, it wasn't long till he had to run to Egypt for his life. Why? Because they were going to kill him. His parents took him. And then, in the same sense, he went out of the picture. He was lost one time and was reasoning with the smart men, and otherwise he was obeying his parents. And another thing, he had learned in reading the word of the Lord, as his custom was, he went to the church. But when he became 33 years of age or about, he went to a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and everybody wondered what they were going to do. And his mother said, "You do what he tells you to. You just do what he does." Mother knew more about that boy than we did. You remember how she got pregnant? And do you remember? She was overshadowed with spirit. God planted a seed in her and took care of the seed. She was engaged to a man, but the man was going to put her away privately, but the Holy Ghost said, don't do that. That which is in her is that one that I'm going to tell you was before the foundation of the world. And so, there he starts now. He's going to school. He learns things. He learns the better you are to people, most of them, the more they hate you. And the more learning you get, the more they envied him because he's smart. Can you imagine that? All the smart guys and religious people wanted to put him to death, most of them. We call them smart. The smart ones surely didn't. But what's he doing? Going to school. How did he learn obedience? By the things that he suffered. How did he become perfect? The captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. And he goes to school. On to school he goes. Doing good. But he learned something. He learned to be hungry. God never was hungry. God never was thirsty. In fact, that gives me an idea. God didn't know what it was to be thirsty. God didn't know what it was to be sleepy. He didn't know what it was to be tired. But he said to his apostles one time, "Come ye aside and rest yourselves." They didn't give him time to rest. What's he doing? He's going to school. Thank God he went to school. Lord, well, he ran into one fellow down here by the name of the devil. Now, come here a minute, I need you again. God in the Spirit, you could not tempt him. Hear me? You couldn't make him, you couldn't do anything that you could do it to God, because why? He was Spirit. But now, he's flesh. And the Spirit, you couldn't tempt the Spirit. But when he took on flesh, I got to have a scripture, don't go away. This scripture is in Psalm 65, 1 and 2. And that young evangelist, don't you ever forget this one. What did he say?
65, 1 and 2. Grace waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed.
This is it.
O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come.
What did that say?
All flesh.
All flesh is going before God. Now I'm going to tell God in a minute. Right off. Lord, if you were ever manifested in the flesh, you know what you had to do? You didn't pray to your Father. You took your flesh. You took your flesh to God. Because you cannot handle it by yourself. Hear me? You cannot, you individuals out there, you cannot handle this in the flesh by yourself. You must be born again. And if you're not born again, you're lost forever. For you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But in you know what I did with my faith when I heard this? It sort of died. Died flesh, died to flesh. But I took my flesh to it. My rottenness, my dirt, my filth, everything, I carried it. Now you can sit down. Remember now. Remember this name. Let me go back. He spoke of things to me as though they were. He settled the whole thing at the beginning of the foundation of the world. And there is a God. He made Adam in his likeness, but not in his likeness. I tell you, when he made his likeness, give me Galatians 4:4.